Have you ever wondered on how we colonize and terraform other planets? Or if astronauts' ice cream is real? Is extraterrestrial exploration limited to robots? Or will humans explore the outside worlds in the near future? What makes rockets launch and satellites broadcast information? Hello everyone, I am your host Athar, and I ask you all to join me in this journey with science. This is a short series where such questions are pondered upon and answered with the help of some special guests. Join us as we deliberate upon these engineering marvels made by the students of MIT Manipal. I present to you Cosmic TED Talks. Hello everyone and welcome to another new episode of AstroBytes. I am Athar, your host, as again, and I am joined with three more new amazing speakers. Guys, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Tanay. I will be speaking on behalf of the Astronomy Club. I'm the treasurer as well.
Hey everyone, I'm Aditya Iyer, and I'm the AI and Automation Head at Masrova Manipal, as well as the Vice President at the Astronomy Club. Today, I'll be representing Masrova Manipal.
Yeah, hi guys. I'm Arjun. I'm from the Mechanical Subsystem of MRM.
All right. Before getting to know more about the student project MRM, why don't you tell our audience more about, you know, what space rovers are in general? It's like we know what they are, but we don't know what they are, right? So why don't you tell them about what rovers are, what their like parts are, what the purpose is, and so on?
Yeah, all right. So basically, a rover is what you call as a planetary surface exploration device. It is designated to move across solid surfaces of a planet, basically as a robot that explores the other celestial bodies. Rovers are there, rovers are typically created to land on another planet via a lander style spacecraft, and their primary focus is to explore the presence of life, analyze its surroundings, and map the terrain. Due to the fact that the rover is automated, the cost and risk factor of exploring celestial bodies is greatly reduced, and the most recent mission done by NASA is the Perseverance mission, where they sent a rover named Perseverance to explore the Jezero crater on Mars in 2020. Alright, and then the key components that makes a rover are its body, which carries and protects its instruments, the brains, which is basically the electronics, and the autonomous mode that the rover runs on. So basically, then we have the robotic manipulator, which is basically your robotic arm. It is to manipulate the surrounding and collect samples, and vice versa, and so on. And then the drive system is what handles the mobility of the rover, basically helps it to traverse across various terrains, ditches, inclines, and so on.
That was interesting to know. Coming to know about MRM itself, we all know that MRM is the most respected and accomplished student projects in MIT Manipal. Why don't you tell the audience more about what MRM is and its various departments, categories, and maybe its focus and goal as well?
I think I'll take this. Mars Rover Manipal is an interdisciplinary student project which essentially started off to compete in a competition called the University Rover Challenge, which happens in the United States. It takes place at NASA's testing facility called Mars Desert Research Station, or MDRS. And every year, we take our rover there and we carry out certain tasks. So the task or the subsystem division, when you look at it, is based on the task that we have to accomplish at URC. We have an autonomous division called the AI and Automation Subsystem, which essentially deals with automating the entire traversal of the rover and developing algorithms for autonomous traversal. We also, interpret sensor data from things like a LiDAR or an inertial measurement unit and a GPS. We also have a mechanical subsystem, which essentially is responsible for manufacturing the rover chassis, the suspension design to ensure that it can traverse across very harsh terrain that is found in Nevada or Utah in the United States, right? And we also have a life science subsystem, which designs chemical assays to test the soil for extinct life or extant life, so life that is present or which is dead. We also have an electronics and control subsystem, which along with the mechanical subsystem makes the rover's functionality complete. It's responsible for essentially having all of the electronics sorted on the rover, and the rover is in running capability. There is also an additional research subsystem which we have, which works independent of the rover team and tries to, develop new concepts and breakthroughs in fields related to robotics and AI, as well as mechanical manufacturing and electronics, not necessarily related to the rover.
Yeah, so you have obviously told everyone about the mechanical and chemical components of the rover. But at the, in the end, you mentioned there's a research department which obviously woken, like has awoken the inner child in me. As in, I want to research more about stuff like this. So, Arjun, why don't you tell us more about the research department? As in, are there any like research papers which have been published, or what topics you have been covering, and so on?
Yeah, sure. So basically, MRM entails in like brainstorming novel ideas and projects involving in fields of artificial intelligence, electronics, and science. They range in domain. They range from domains in electronics such as photonics and control systems to AI domains like computer vision and natural language processing. The areas that we are currently researching on includes deep learning, wireless charging and swarm robots, photonics, control systems, and so on. And yeah, the future projects that we plan to work on include robust adaptive compliance control, semantic interpretation of latent space of generative models, and many more pertaining to both AI and electronics. But yeah, MRM by itself has produced a lot of research papers, and I've attended multiple conferences as well.
Can you answer this one question for me, please? It's a follow-up question. Is there life on Mars?
At the moment, no. But yeah. If there is, we'd hope to find it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Everyone has to. Yeah. Also, recently, we had this student club promotion fest in MIT called Cambiar. And MRM had the opportunity to showcase the rover which they built in the workshop to 1,000 plus students in here in MIT. I am honestly in awe myself because your rover is one exceptional engineering marvel in itself. Can you tell us more about what your rover is made of, like what its components are, and what does it do?
Yeah, sure. I'll take this. So basically, mechanically, our rover is very good. It has six wheels. It has six wheels that are 3D printed using our in-house 3D printers. They are made of PETG and PLA, which are quite good strength materials that offer strength and compliance. And yeah, and we plan on experimenting with another material called TPU, which is a flexible material as well. And yeah, regarding the size of our rover has a wheelbase of 1.2 meters and has a track width of 0.8 meters. Yeah, and each of the drive motors individually is a 10,000 RPM motor that is converted into 100 RPM through a gearbox. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and our maximum speed of a rover is around 1.7 meter per second. Mm-hmm. And comparing to the NASA's rover, which runs at 0.8 meter per second, as is comparatively faster.
Okay.
But yeah, and then yeah, one of our solid features mechanically is our suspension, which is one of our novel suspensions that we had designed. Mm-hmm. It is a patent pending 5-bar suspension.
Achha.
That in simulation showed better results as compared to NASA's rocket bogey suspension. All right. Yeah, so basically after that, our rover houses your in-house science model as well that we previously talked upon.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it does chemical assays to determine whether presence or absence of life is there.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's basically a simulation of the Martian environment itself. So we build our rover according to that. Then we have the robotic manipulator also that I previously spoke upon. So ours is a 6-gear articulator arm, which can pick up a payload of around 6 kgs.
Okay.
And yeah. And then we'll go to the electronics part of the rover itself. The rover is controlled using microcontrollers like STM32 Bluepen and Arduino Uno. And they perform tasks like the actuation of the arm, the science module, and so on. Then for accurate movement of our arm itself, we use inverse and forward kinematics that provides us quite accurate movement for the operator to operate and manipulate the robotic arm.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then basically we use C++ and embedded C to control the automation of the rover itself. And yeah, integration of the Z2 camera and the LiDAR, which helps us to implement the global planner and local planner, which is basically the autonomous mode of the rover.
Okay.
Can autonomously navigate to the given coordinate. Okay. And at the same time can also basically avoid obstacles. Yeah.
So this question is for Aditya, since there's been a lot of competitions for MRM, right? I know that MRM takes part in a lot of prestigious competitions, right? Including the International Rover Design Challenge, hosted by the Space Robotics Society of India, the European Rover Challenge, or ERC, organized by the European Space Foundation, and the very well-known and coveted University Rover Challenge, organized by the International Mars Society. Why did you brief the audience about each competition?
All right, so while Mars Rover Manipal started out as a student project aimed at the University Rover Challenge, we realized that while URC does focus a lot on the practical application and actually a physical rover, There are multiple competitions that are focused on software-driven approaches, as well as design competitions for building the next generation rovers. Because essentially, the reason, the ideology behind companies or organizations starting competitions like the University Rover Challenge was that engineering students try to develop new technology with respect to rovers and space exploration. Mm-hmm. So with respect to that, the International Rover Design Challenge and the European Rover Challenge are major competitions with respect to design. Because the European Rover Challenge essentially gives us the problem statement of trying to automate a rover that has already been present. So the mechanical and the hardware constraints have been handled by the competition, and we have to develop autonomous software and scientific analysis methods for a rover. So that brings all the international teams on a level playing field. And it gives us the opportunity to be able to innovate and to develop robust software. And I'm proud to say that even in such a difficult competition with such difficult odds, working remotely from a competition that's happening in Poland, controlling the rover from a room in India, we came second. So that's a great, achievement for an Indian team. With respect to the International Rover Design Challenge, it essentially removes the constraints of a physical implementation and gives you the opportunity to essentially blow the judges' minds away with innovation and ideation. And it asks you to solve a problem statement that NASA is currently solving. Last year, it was exploration of lava tubes. This year, it was exploration of the polar ice caps in Planum Astral on Mars. So essentially, they are solving major problems that NASA are facing right now, and we are glad to be a part of that process.
Okay, so this will be a follow-up to the previous question. I got to know that MRM has secured second place worldwide in the IRDC competition, second place worldwide in the ERC competition, and 21st place worldwide in the URC competition this year. Also in URC 2022, the life sciences department had secured the first place and won the John Berenka Award. First of all, congratulations to the team. I'm sure this is no easy feat. Please tell the audience more about your experiences in these competitions.
Especially with respect to the University Rover Challenge and the European Rover Challenge. It gives the team an overall understanding of how the rover works. And it helps them essentially develop a full-fledged solution for exploring an alien environment like Mars. So winning these awards was essentially telling us that we were going in the right direction. With respect to IRDC, the rover that we developed was ingenious, I should say, because we got wonderful feedback from judges from Poland, the United States, Great Britain and other countries, as well as Indian judges as well. We had a novel design, a novel suspension. We had the concept of tethered drones, mm-hmm. where we essentially eliminated batteries on the drone itself and is completely on the rover, meaning theoretically it has an infinite flight time. We also developed sub-modules such as a hammer probe and other exploration modules for digging the surface and doing subsurface analysis. So all of these things are difficult to implement. And for a team that works with Corey with mechanical and electronics, yeah. It becomes difficult to actually bring this into our workplace without competitions like this. So that's what IRDC helped us do. And with respect to the European Rover Challenge, it is a unique competition in the entire world because there isn't any competition that promotes remote control of a rover from sitting in your room. I am controlling a rover sitting in a room in India that's running in Poland and performing tasks there. And I am developing autonomous software for that. I am developing ways to detect life from a camera vision. I am automating a robotic arm to carry out maintenance work on HABs and satellites. And these things are not things that we do normally in engineering. So these competitions have given us a great opportunity to explore the fields of engineering and become masters at it. If not masters, at least better than what we were when we started out.
What about the John Berenka Award, which the life sciences team has won?
That I would say is, you know, is honestly something that our life science, that life science subsystem deserves, because they put in an entire year of research for universities over challenge. And honestly, if you talk to anyone right now, you show them a soil sample, they will tell you 6 inferences about it. That probably most of them are correct. So that is the extent with which they had prepared to. And I'm proud to say that we have the best science team in the world.
That is definitely something to brag about. First of all, congratulations, Aditya, on winning so many, taking so many places in such internationally coveted competitions.
Thank you.
Yeah. There are a few student projects in MIT, like MRM itself, Master of Manipal, which are competition driven. But there are certain others in MIT which are not competition driven, but they are more focused on solving real life problems or like designing and manufacturing models to, simply put, make the world a better place. I think there's the automated drone called Seraphim from Project Manas. I am aware of MBM, which we had the podcast earlier. They came up with a solution for mercury poisoning in water, if I'm not wrong. I want to know, Arjun, from if there is any innovation like that from MRM.
Yeah, I mean, looking from MRM side, the closest that we have actually gotten, like my fellow teammate had said, was during our IRDC competition, mm-hmm. where we designed an entire rover to explore the territory in Mars. These are the problems using equipment like they're faced by NASA at the moment, and we are the ones also taking part in it and helping to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
But as of now, we don't have like a plan on building a rover for Mars itself. But basically, when we design the rover, we keep in mind that this is a prototype that we're developing,
mm-hmm.
and that this prototype is just setting us a path for us to get a step closer for it to reach space. But yeah. Essentially, we haven't really gotten close to it, but we have made steps to, basically show that we are somewhat there. We are doing stuff.
Yeah, I think we can say those are definitely steps to make the world a better place in a way or two.
Yeah.
More than a way or two.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, yeah.
So, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people who are willing to or who want to pursue engineering in the future as a career, right? And would like to design such rovers for their future projects and endeavors, right? So what thoughts would you have for them? Any tips, maybe?
So essentially, considering that I'm in third year, I think I'm capable enough to take this question. The thing is that I would say if you want to pursue a career in engineering, the importance is not on what you're working, but more like what you're using to do that work.
Mm-hmm.
If you develop your basics and if you develop the basic engineering skills that you need, the all-round engineering skills, like for example, especially if you want to get into the field of robotics, just knowing how to manufacture a suspension is not good enough. To actually have a working prototype, you will need an electronics person to be able to wire up the UGV or the unmanned ground vehicle for you. You will need a person to automate it. You will need any specialist that essentially requires that you require for the application that you're looking at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you have to try to do is you have to try to fit into that niche. You mm-hmm. have to become a person who is capable of wiring that rover. If you want to really get in on these engineering projects, you need to be able to have the basic requirements to be able to develop that particular module.
Right.
What you do specific to that module is something that you can learn after you start working on it. But the initial phase of developing that intellectual acumen to be able to solve problems, to be able to, being very Indian of me, jugadify a situation,
yeah, definitely.
And be able to, you know, get the output, whatever the problems that you face. I think that is what is most important for an engineer. He needs to be, sadly enough, a jack of all trades.
Yeah, definitely. I think since you have explained everything, that there are so many departments for just one single project, I think my dear friend Arjun here has already experienced all of that being in the task phase himself. Arjun, why don't you tell the audience more about your experience working in MRM as a team member?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so MRM in the beginning, during the task phase, was hella hectic.
Yeah.
It was our seniors used to give us a lot of reports, tight deadlines to meet and everything. But yeah, in the end, I did survive the task phase and I did come out. And then, yeah, personally, the amount of knowledge I've gained through those task phase alone, through the entire duration of it, was entirely more than the college could give me at the moment. And straight up, and the seniors being like absolute gods at the point, giving me everything, whenever I ask a doubt or anything, they used to help me with it and make me only figure it out, which in my own way helped a lot. But yeah, essentially, the workshop in our campus has become my second home. I have stayed in the workshop more than my hostel room itself.
Yeah.
And yeah, and honestly, working there, working with my teammates and everything, who at this point are no longer friends, they're like family, because they are the only people I see, and they are amazing to work with. But yeah, essentially, MRM has a very professional environment, and I'm glad to at least have a little bit experience of it and learn the ways how to work in a professional environment. Yeah,
it's very inspiring to like listen to you talk about how MRM is as a student project. I'm pretty sure getting into MRM itself, from what I hear from the both of you, is not that easy for someone who has like nothing to report on. As Aditya said, someone has to be a jack of all trades. And
I mean, I don't really think so. It is more about your dedication.
Yeah.
I would say that is ultimately what decides everything.
True.
Rather than what you can always learn more skills. But having that internal hunger and that fire to do things is arguably anything that any student project looks for.
True.
Forget student project. I think actually any professional organization looks for in a particular individual.
True. And I see a lot of that dedication and commitment in the both of you right now, like hearing from your experiences, MRM. I think this brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you so much, Arjun and Aditya, for joining in for this very informative podcast. We shall see you all very soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.